brings communion of peace from God our Father and from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The word of our Lord, which we consider this morning, comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 14 to 21. Jesus speaks here to all of us, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, for I will come to you. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. And because I live, you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." About 5 months ago, when I came to this church, I immediately had a problem, at least from an earthly perspective. I had half of a school year, one full semester, to prepare two students for confirmation. How could I possibly, in 4 to 5 months, prepare two young men for the life of a Christian? To go forth and be apologists, defending the Word of God. To go forth and know how to choose right from wrong. To go forth and to serve the Lord in his kingdom. And the answer, of course, is there's no way I ever could. Even if I had 3 or 4 or 5 years, it would not be possible. Jesus himself taught his disciples for 3 years, and yet he knew that they were not prepared. At the end of the 3 years, just before his death, he says what we just read in our text, which we could summarize as, "Okay, guys, you haven't learned anything yet, but I'm going to send you a teacher who will be with you forever, and therefore maybe you will start to learn who God is and what he has revealed to himself, to us, in his word. I will give you another helper, a paraclete, one to stand by your side and to teach you the word of God." The purpose of confirmation class is not to teach you everything you need. The purpose of confirmation class is the same as any elementary class, to give you a few basic facts so that you can get started. It used to sometimes bother me how big the universe is. I'm sure you guys have all heard people talk about just how big the universe is. I looked up the statistics the other day. 2 trillion galaxies is the current estimate. That's 10 times the estimate they had maybe 10 years ago. In our galaxy alone, there's 100,000 million stars. So just imagine 100,000 million times 2 trillion, being close to the number of stars out there. Why did it bother me to think that the universe is so big? Well, the thing that I couldn't quite understand is the Bible indicates that this universe is made for man, that this is our home, and yet it's so vast, so huge, that we can't even see all of it. Why would the Lord make all of this for man? Imagine you were building a house for your family, but instead of building it 15 or 2,000 or 3,000 square feet, you built it 197 million square miles large. That's the surface area of the Earth. So you made the whole Earth your house. A little overboard, isn't it? You don't need that much. That was kind of what my thought was about the universe. Like, why did God make so much? It bothered me until I suddenly occurred to me, well, maybe God didn't make it for man. Maybe he was just having fun and just really liked making stars. We have a tendency to think of God as this strict utilitarian. But even without considering the vastness of space, it's obvious that that is not so. He is instead a God who filled all his creation with variety, with light of every length and color, with colors, with music, and with so much more, so much that beyond our understanding. And if the universe is so unbelievably vast and complicated and beautiful, then surely the God who made it is even more so. Theology is often thought of as a boring subject. Catechism class, something we gotta get through to get to Confirmation Sunday. And then, okay, good, we're done with that. Can't memorize. But theology is the study of this same God who created this unbelievable universe. It's probably partially our fault, us pastors' fault, that people think of it as so boring. Maybe we need to learn how to better teach the wonders of God. But it's undoubtedly also partially the sin of the listeners, the congregation, and the students who just want to get home to watch Netflix. For the study of God's Word is not boring, but it is the continual growing in our understanding of a God who is so vast that we can study and learn and grow in him forever and still be learning new things. To quote C.S. Lewis, further in and deeper. Further into God's Word and deeper. Always deeper, always running deeper into our understanding of this God. Or to quote one of my favorite TV shows, may your life be filled with spice. Certainly the spice and excitement of travel, of work, of learning, whatever it is that you want to learn, physics, language, math, engineering. But above and beyond all that, the spice of continually learning and growing in the vastness of the knowledge of our God. This is not what Jesus meant when he says, if you abide, if you live in my word, growing continually in it, then you are my disciples in truth, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Is it not what he meant in our text when he says, if you love me, you will treasure, delight in my commandments, and in my word, and in growing in that word? How ridiculously sinful we are that we consider learning and growing, a lot of times not just learning and growing in God, but learning and growing in general, to be boring. How sinful we are that when God has given us this vast expanse to explore and to learn, not only this world, but in his word, we would rather just sit and watch Netflix. In the midst of sinful humanity, the Lord appeared and said, I will give you a helper. and he will lead you into all truth. It is not those who finish confirmation class who are ready and prepared for the life of a Christian, but rather those who live and grow in God's word, who delight in his word, and delight first and foremost, above everything else, in hearing this message that your sins are forgiven. Exploring God and exploring his word means exploring what is invisible. Jesus says to his disciples, "The world will see me no more." And so, from a physical standpoint, we do not see Jesus or many of the things he talked about. And so much of the things that we learn about in his word are things that are also invisible to our human eyes. In fact, all the things that the confirmand shared with us this morning are articles of faith. The Apostles' Creed begins, "I believe," and it lists all the things that we believe. They're articles or objects of our faith. We believe in them because they are unseen. If they were seen, we would not need to believe. We could just point to them. So, of course, the world cannot know them, nor can it receive them, as Jesus says, because it will not accept anything that it cannot observe for itself. But if the unseen things are the objects of our faith, our faith is nevertheless built on, based on, things that very much are seen. Nature itself testifying to the fact that there is a God and a creator. In one of his books, Richard Dawkins, the avowed anti-religious extreme atheist, wrote, the first page of his book, he wrote, "All these things give the," I'm paraphrasing, "all these things give the appearance of design, but there is no proof of design." In other words, it looks like it's designed, but there's no proof that it's designed. That's like saying, that thing over there looks like a pig, but there's no proof that it's a pig. The fact that it looks like a pig is very much proof that it probably is a pig. Now, you might be able to find other arguments that prove that it's not a pig after all. But to say it looks like it's designed, but there's no proof that it's designed, is ridiculous. Another one of, one of my wife's favorite TV shows, there's an episode where a government official is sitting in his office, and another guy comes in, and he's all over his office. He's got these buckets because there's water dripping from the ceiling, so it's dripping down into the buckets. And the other guy comes in and says, "Oh, your ceiling is dripping." And the government official says, "No, it's not." No, it's not. We've done studies. The roof is leaking. And that's kind of the attitude of the world. We've done studies. It's not design. We can see the design. We can see the hand of the Creator. That's one of the seen things upon which our faith is based, but Jesus points us to another in our text. "A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. And because I live, you will live also." Jesus is pointing to his resurrection, which is really, when it comes down to it, the basis of our faith. Jesus rose from the dead and was seen not only by the 12, but by more than 500 people who gave witness and testimony to having seen him alive, even to the point of death. Jesus lives, and because he lives, you will live also. As Peter says, we did not devise cunningly, devised fables, but we were eyewitnesses. It is self-evident that the world cannot know and cannot study these wonderful mysteries of our God, to which you are privileged, because they have not seen what it can only be revealed through his word. And so it is only those who delight in studying that word of God that are able to see and know and grow in Christ Jesus our Lord, since Jesus is revealed through that word. To you, this privilege has been given. To get off your couch and study, so that you may know what are the vast and wonderful things of our unseen God. To you, this gift has been given not only because you have been given the Word, but because you have been given the Helper, the Spirit of Truth, who will lead and guide you in that Word. What a wonderful and amazing and exciting opportunity that is. But it begins by confessing our sins, by acknowledging that we are sinful and unworthy. It continues through prayer, study of God's word. It continues by walking with the Holy Spirit. And it ends, what does Jesus say? Because I live, you will live also. It ends in eternity. Our short lives on this earth will give us only a little time to explore a few things of the vastness of both God's creation and who and what God is. But those who walk by faith, those who walk with Jesus, those who confess their sins and delight in receiving the forgiveness that Jesus offers in his word and in his sacrament that you talked about, they will have an eternity to rejoice and explore the wonders of our God and of his universe. Amen. May the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.